We're learning today a very interesting sugya about shlichus when it comes to bris milah. And the Gemara talks about a situation that if you want to avoid any concerns of davar shemes kavein and the isak titas beheres while performing the milah, so the Gemara says simply all you have to do is vi'i ika acher, if there's someone else who's present, li'aved acher, let the other person do it, because the other person doesn't really care about the tara of the child, only the father cares about the tara of the child. So that person is doing this with the pure kavana of a bris milah, and that avoids any of the issues. So that's the Gemara we discussed yesterday, or 2 days ago, about the issur of ktitas beharas. Now we're going to focus on this particular case of appointing someone else to be your mole. So based on this, as you all saw, I imagine the Mishnah Melech learned that it's mashma from the explanation of Rashi here. Rashi says, "I ika acher she'eino choshesh letaro la'aved acher." Let the other guy do this. Velo lekem av lahasim. The father should not be present. He should kind of walk away. So the implication is, if the father is present, however, so then there would be an iser, because the father has the kavana, even though the father is not doing the ma'isa, the father has kavana that the child become tahor. And because the mitzvah is mutelas al ha'av, the mo'el is acting as a shlichus, shlichusei ha'av kavid. And therefore it becomes a shlichus of the father with the kavan of the father, and that goes back to the problem of the issur of cutting off ketitas beharis. So there's so many fascinating things really in this Mishnah Melech. Number one is, I was just talking before with Jacob and Shlomo about, it's only shlichus if the father is present. But the father isn't present, it's not shlichus. I mean, I can't appoint a shliach and then run away. He won't be my shliach anymore. I need to be standing next to the shlichus. It's hard to say that because almost all cases of gittin, because of the circumstances, it's almost always given through shlichus. Oftentimes, the husband and wife don't want to be present during the get, or the husband's running away somewhere, so you have to somehow be zocha to get the get from him. So you send it through shliach. The father's not, the husband's not there. So of course it's a good shlichus, even though the mishalech's not there. So that itself is very unclear. Second issue is that the Prima Gadim picks up on, how could the father get the Aveira, ain't shlichus devar Aveira? If the shliach, the moel, is cutting off the ketitza, how do I, as the father, get the iser? So he explains based on Gemara B'Metzia, fine. Our focus I want to hone in on is simply, is it possible, does shlichus exist by bris milah? So Mishnah Melech thinks from this Rashi, Diak and Rashi, that shlichus does in fact work for bris milah. Now I'm not sure why none of the Acharim quote a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which is a clear statement of Rashi that shlichus does in fact work. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah is talking about who is good, who's a good mole. Could use a goy to be a mole? Could use a kusi to be a mole? Could a woman be a mole? And the Gemara says depends on the nature of bris milah. Is bris milah about creating ve'ates brisi tishmar, about creating a bris, an os bris kodesh? Women don't have an os bris kodesh. Or is it about being mahul, which women are considered mahul because they have no arla? Is it about creating something positive or about removing something, not having an arla? And there's a discussion which appears in the Achronim about removing arla or creating an os bris kodesh. So, but that's, the Gemara itself seems to raise this chakira. So the Nafkamina says the Gemara is, can a woman be a mole? If a woman, if it's about you need a bris milah, having an os bris kodesh, well, women don't have os bris kodesh, and she couldn't be a mole. But if it's about being mahul, so isha kimandu mahilu dami, since they have no arla, it's like if they're mole, and it works. That's what the Gemara says. So then the Gemara says, this is again, Avodah Zarah, daf chav zayin amin aleph, umi ika laman damar isha lo. Could anyone say a woman cannot be a mole? V'aksiv, we have a mefurish pasuk. What's a pasuk? Anyone know the raya we have in the Chumash that a woman can be a mole? Tipora, right? The pasuk says, v'atikach tipora tzor. She took a rock, a sharp rock. V'atichros es orlas bina. She cut it off. So, v'aksiv, so the pasuk says, v'atukach v'aksiv v'atichras. Karibay, the Gemara ends up saying that Amr le'inish achrina, she appointed someone else to do this, and then the Gemara says, Ibaisema, ihi aschala, she started it, Vasa Moshe v'agma, Moshe finished it off. Okay, so the ways around it that Tzipora wasn't doing the actual milah. Say it again, that. It's a shas chak in terms of saving Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah, but still the Gemara learned that it's a good bris milah. Pashup Shab is a good bris milah, even though he was saving it, was pikuach nefesh.
Doesn't we not learn from, in that case, we don't learn from
From a harasha, there's such a concept as that, but the Gemara seems to understand that this was a good bris, even though it was a shas d'chak, that ma'isa mila is still a good mila. And therefore, we see that she did it, and the Gemara answers, no, she didn't do it. She pointed, someone else was there, and she pointed that guy to do this. So Rashi says, how did she point someone else? Ayidei shliach. She pointed a shliach. So we see clearly, shlichas does work by a bris mila. Now, there are questions that the Achronim ask, but wait a second. The Gemara tells us, if a person themselves cannot do a ma'isa, you can't appoint a shliach, right? Kol ma'asha adam eino osa, what's the lashon of the Gemara? I think I have it here actually. That's not an exact lashon, but anything a person himself can't do, he can't or she can't appoint a shliach. So if she can't be a mole herself, she can't be mimane a mole herself. So what the answer is that some say because she is working mitzad bezdin, representing bezdin, she's shlucha derachmaninu, the different type of explanation. It's not real shlichas that's going on here. And others say, because it's not about the ma'isa mila, it's about being the totza of ma'ol. But they get around this problem. But there clearly is shlichas based on the Rashi in Avodah Zarah. Ayidei shliach. So some say it's lav davka shlichas. But pasha pshat is there's real shlichas going on here. So shlichas works. Why would shlichas not work by a bris mila? It's no different than any other mitzvah that you want to do. You want to build a fence, you appoint a shliach to build a makkah for you. You want to get married, you can appoint a shliach to get married for you. Shlichas works across the board. So why would one say it doesn't work? So the Rosh has this well-known discussion about a person, actual ma'isa shahaya. These things actually happen. Usually happens on Simchas Torah. I know a ma'isa that happened, I believe it's discussed the Shaila once, that Simchas Torah, some guy, Reuven, bought money for an aliyah. And they ask, okay, who has shlishi? So Shimon said, oh, I got shlishi. He didn't really have it. But they also they didn't follow who got what. So they called up Shimon as for the aliyah. And Reuven got all upset because Reuven paid for it. Now Shimon took his aliyah. So the question is, does Shimon now have to pay the amount of money that Reuven, not Asar Zahuvim, just Stam. Reuven paid $1,000 for the aliyah. Shimon stole the aliyah. So does Shimon have to pay the $1,000 to the shul, and Reuven's parted from this now? So these things do happen, but it's strange when it happens. But this happened with Ma'isa Shehaya, that one guy was a mole, and another guy came ahead and took the rights to be, he did the Mila. How that happened, that's also unclear, but that's what happened. So now the first mole, the one who was appointed, was Toveya, you owe me Asar Zehuvim, based in the Gemara, when you steal a mitzvah from me, the value of a mitzvah is 10 gold coins, so you owe me money. So Rabbi Tam says, no, the guy did you a tova, actually. You're better off by not doing the mila. Why? Because the person who's owner amen is gadol ha'oner amen yosem min ha'mavarech. You just said a bracha. So he stole a bracha, fine. But you got to say amen. That's more chashiv. So he did you actually a tova. So you owe him no money. Happens to be, those who are in the halacha chat, just today, someone sent in a question about he washed his kid's hands for Negel Asar. The child left the bathroom to say the bracha on Tzias Adayim, and he was still in the bathroom. Can he recite Amen? Can he answer Amen to the bracha of Tzias Adayim? Based on this Rabbeinu Tam, it's really a Gemara in Brachos. Then Amen is Yosem and Mavarech. God the One Amen Mos Mavarech. So lechora, you should not be able to answer Amen if one can say a bracha. So certainly you shouldn't be able to say Amen in a bathroom either. I should share with you some interesting shaila. I got a great shaila this morning, which I can't even answer, I tell you. I got a shaila from the White House, let alone it wasn't Donald Trump, but someone else. That's an awesome shaila, which I can't even, tell me I can't repeat. But I got some really great shailas the past couple of days. So I should leave you hanging there. What?
How did you do that?
I think it's illegal even. What he told me, that's illegal certainly to share anything more outside that. But that being said, I'll tell you another interesting, I got two interesting shailas just yesterday. One is, I can't get into great details of this one, just because, but someone's going on vacation and a crazy shaila is going, I can't give details of where they're going, but happens to be the wife has to go to the mikveh when they're on vacation. So it's a crazy situation. There's no mikveh anywhere to find. So various details of how to go about doing this in terms of timing. Nighttime is dangerous during the daytime. There's no mikveh lady. There's only an ocean. There's no what do you wear, what don't you wear. So it's a crazy shaila that came up as well. But also interestingly, I got this on Tuesday. During shir, my phone was ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing. I couldn't answer. I was giving shir. But afterwards, I called the person back. So this individual witnessed on Central Avenue a frum lady driving, talking on the phone, and she hit a frum kid walking. And that kid had to go to the hospital. I don't know how bad it was. They wanted to know whether she should or she's allowed to or she should not testify to the police that she saw this frum lady driving. Is it considered mesira? She might go to jail. So this is a fascinating shot that came up. Fine. Well, the answer to that is it depends on many, many things. So, okay. So this answer is, so since the guy got to answer Amen, so he's better off that way answering Amen than having to say the simple bracha.
How does that address the mitzvah?
The mitzvah.
Okay. I mean, that's assuming that all this was on the bracha, but there are a lot of, he still stole the maisa.
Yeah, so the understanding is the bracha attached with the mitzvah, that's all called asar zehuvim, that's all one unit. But amen is greater than that.
Yeah, but that addresses the bracha element, but I'm saying what about the maisa mitzvah?
No, I believe that we lump it together. The bracha and the mitzvah, I believe, are attached together in terms of the value. The value that we give something is the mitzvah and the bracha, that equals 10 zehuvim. Benching has 4 brachas, that's 40 zehuvim.
Right.
But I think the bracha and mitzvah go together as one value. All that, the bracha plus the mitzvah, that's 10 zehuvim.
This far, I'm saying of any asami.
Oh, in terms of that. So I guess if the guy was present, that's a good question.
I saw in one of the Nosekim on the Rosh said that Mila is done barabim, so you bedafka make the bracha of kol ram, whereas
Kisei Adam, you don't?
Kisei Adam, the Derech is, it's not done Barabim, so people make it Balachah, so you wouldn't have the opportunity.
Interesting. But with Chora, Apialach, you should say that. Every Bracha should be said out loud. Very interesting. I didn't see it. Okay, who says that? Carbon Sanal or someone on the bottom there? Dunos. Okay, very good.
Those who argue on that.
Who said?
I think there are those who argue on that. And we don't assume the guy's going to be at Rasha and not say the Bracha out loud. Kisei Adam.
So then this goes back to square one. What's the answer there? Good question. I'm not sure. Okay, yeah.
Isn't there a bit of time assuming that the original mole wouldn't get the mitzvah, at least, even if you say that the ten zehuvim is the mitzvah plus the bracha, this is assuming that it's only a matter of what's more, the bracha or the amen, he's already assuming that the mole is not getting the mitzvah, and it's only a shadow of amen or bracha, or the bracha itself is more valuable. And since amen is more valuable, the second, the sheni, the thief is potter.
But what about the value of the mitzvah itself, though?
Sounds like he's not even addressing it.
But why not, I guess?
So
it sounds like, the Shach comments on that rush, but it sounds like even in Rabbeinu Tam is ignoring the mitzvah itself.
So maybe it's possible that the mo doesn't even get the mitzvah made. The father gets attributed with the mitzvah regardless of who's doing it.
You could say either way. Maybe the father, maybe no one gets the mitzvah like the Shach, uh-huh. But it sounds like Rabbeinu Tam is saying there's no mitzvah
to be
discussed.
Could be. Yesh lachor, I guess, yeah. Okay, so then that's all the explanation of Rabbeinu Tam. Comes on the Rush himself. The Rush says, no, I've got another reason why that you can't claim the Asar Zehuvim, because the first guy wasn't acting as a shliach. Bulab hachi, hanech taimi, the Rabbeinu Tam, nearly the pot liftor amol. The Alpha Pisha, Amar Ha'av l'mol echad, he points one mol. La mulas b'no, lo zoch ha'osa mitzvah. L'chayv ha'acher im kadum v'aseh. It's not really mechayv that first mol, that he has full rights to do it. So therefore, anyone really could do this. V'cheina av, v'shechayv lamul as b'no, v'ratza lamulu, v'kidem acher chayv. If I'm the father, I want to do the mila, and some other guy does it in my stead, he owes me 10 zuvim. Ava im ein ha'av, rotza lamulu, so kol yisrael chayavim. There's no shlich as appointing. Even I asked Reuven to be the mole, Shimon, Levi, Yisrael, anyone could be the mole. Lav davka Reuven. There is no minoy shlichus when it comes to a bris mila. If the father is not able to do it, or doesn't want to do it, so the next in line we learn from the Gemara's in Kedushin is everyone, which is the entity of Beis Din. There is no shlichus by Mila. And that's how the Shach understands this rush as well, that there is no minoy shlichus. And the Shach was bothered by this because he saw many people who were capable individuals doing a Mila. And they didn't. He said, "Kama reisi, kama nashim mechabdin la'achirim lamus b'neim afshem atzman yichom lamu." Even though they themselves are capable, Unfortunately, it's not too common that people know how to do a bris milah nowadays. A few weeks ago, we had a milah here, a bris milah here, and Abuso was in town, and he was both the sandik and the mohel at the same time. It was incredible. So, yeah, with two pairs of ranatam until it's filling on, and the whole works, he just did it seamlessly. So people are able to do things like that, but nowadays, unfortunately, people, many cannot be, are not capable of being molim, they are not trained. So that shach was bothered by, but shlichas does not work by a bris milah for some reason. Why doesn't it work? The Archim Moshe asks, it doesn't make any sense. Why doesn't it work? He quotes the words of Ruah, im ha'av mol also litein lemol acher. If the father's a mol, he's forbidden from giving it to someone else. V'tzarech in, ma'ishna mi mitzvah acheres, d'yachol lasos shliach b'mkomo. Okay. So let's understand what Pshat here is. Why one would say it does not work, shlichus does not work by bris milah. So there's a long toast, which I'm sure you spent a lot of time on. There's a lot of shlichus discussions here. I really want to focus on bris milah. And he quotes from the Tosas Rid. And I told you about Perlstein last night, that he has a certain Pshat in Tosas Rid, which I didn't agree with just from the language. But Tosas Rid writes, read this inside. I forgot to put on page numbers here, but where the bold begins, where he says Nira lefi mashikosef Tosas Rid, why does bris milah not have shlichus? So the Tosas Rid in Kedushin daf Membeis Membeis says v'zeh l'shono yesh makshim im kein l'chol davar mitzvah yol hashliach v'yomer adam l'chaveiro shev besuka avori hanach tefillin la'avori. Why doesn't I tell a guy, you know, I'm not in the mood to wear tefillin today, I've got a stomach ache, I'm not feeling well, could you put tefillin on for me? I don't want to send the sukkah for me. Why doesn't shlichus work? I mean, of course, we know it doesn't work. Belab milsehi. Shemitzvah shechayavu hamakum lasos begufo heyach yiftor hu aide shlucho hu lo yasuklam. If something's begufo, it's on my goof, I cannot appoint a shliach to do this for me. I need to sit in the sukkah, I need to wear tefillin, I need to wear tzitzis, someone else cannot do this on my behalf. So what's begufo by the bris milah? The begufo is on the son.
No, it's mutl on the father. It's not a tutsal. It's chiyuv on the father, begufo, to do it.
So
we understand it, no?
So we'll learn the word begufo, meaning the chiyuv, not begufo mamish, on my goof, but a mutal on. So that means every time there's a chiyuv, begavra versus a chiyuv in the chefza. So titis is a chovas agavra, I need to wear titis. Tefillin is a chovas tefillin. Forget the fact that it's touching my body. Nothing to do with touching my body. They're just an obligation that I personally need to do, and therefore I can't appoint a shliach. Now that becomes very challenging because there are other mitzvahs that are chovas aguf, which sometimes you can appoint people to do shlichus. There's a big discussion when it comes to building a makkah. That's going to get off topic. So either way, that's one shot. You could definitely say the Tosas Rid doesn't mean bagufo, he means the chiv on the guf. And that's our person what he wanted to say as well. That's pashup shot. There's no question about it. But the terminology bagufo to mean sounds mamish on the body. The examples he gives is wearing tefillin, tzitzis, and tzukkah, which all involve the body being present, being involved. Lulav. Luval, so the Pasuk says, Lakachlan Lachem, the Gemara says, you have to mamish hold it by yodo, and the Gemara says, you can't have a chatzitza there at all, just like you can't have a chatzitza by tefillin. The Gemara compares chatzitza tefillin to chatzitza of lulav, mamish by yodo. Lakachlan Lachem, don't say by yodo, but Lakachlan Lachem, the Gemara says, Lakicha by yodo, you have to mamish have it by gufo. So again, what I'm going to say is a really big chiddush, and it's pashup shot maybe in the word begufo, not pashup shot in understanding this, but I'm going to mention it anyways, because I think there's a deep idea here as well. So let's, before I go back to explain the ketos here, let's just address a very important chakir that exists in the achronim. Who is the chiv on? So up until now, we assume the chiv is on the father to perform for the son. So I'm going to work backwards. When the katan, let's say a katan doesn't have a bris milah, katan shehigdil, he's now a bar mitzvah boy, doesn't have a milah. Whose obligation now? The Gemara tells us that the katan has to ensure he has a bris milah now. It's a chova on the child. But the Minchas Chinuch wants to know, is it still also a chiv on the father, or it's exclusively on the child? So that's the shaila of the Minchas Chinuch. He says, Ani mesupak. im higdil she mitzva gam kein aleh ramya umechuyev lamul atzmo. When the son now has obligation to perform a mila or ensure that he gets a mila, is that also gam kein mitzvah halav? V'lo nafka mitzvah meito. He doesn't lose, the father doesn't lose his obligation. Odilma, the mitzvah of the father is only rak bekatnusa when the child's young. But kishigdil, when the child gets older, ein chiyu mitzvah alav. So the question becomes, when the child is a bar mitzvah boy, everyone agrees the katan has a, the gadol now is a chiyuv, does a father also have a chiyuv to perform the bris milah? And he lists like five, six nafka minas. So let's say the father is, when the child is a 13-year-old boy. Let's say the father is now a mol. Is the father allowed to be mechabed someone else according to the shach? The shach said that the father is not allowed to. The father's a mol in general. He can't be mechabed someone else. But now the boy is a 13-year-old boy. And I want to, and I'm the boy, I want to choose my own mol. So am I allowed to do that? The father, is the father still in the picture? My father's a mol. Unfortunately, these things happen about fighting about mol. I've had the shayla a couple of times. Once a shayla, a person called me up that the grandparents wanted to use a particular mol because the family used them for six generations. So you can imagine how old the mol is right now, right? So the young father doesn't want to use his 95-year-old mol anymore. And he wants to use who he wants. And it became a whole big fight about who the mol is. It's terrible when these, it's like we saw, there's less ksuba below ktata. There's no ksuba without a fight. There's no mila without a fight either. So that's one case about who the mol is. And another case I had once, they pointed one mole, one person called mole, but they called a different mole afterwards. And the question the Ramah talks about, you're not allowed to retract after giving mole A the rights to be the mole. So how does that work, that mole A was appointed first, but then he appointed mole B? Fights about who's the sandik. It's crazy. Who the sandik is? That comes up all the time. So one person wanted the Rebbe to be the sandik. And the grandfather wanted himself to be the tzaddik. This was his first grandson, wanted to be the tzaddik. So that also becomes a big debate. There's a great mice with the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, one time the father of the son came to the Chazon Ish to be mechabed him with to be the tzaddik. So yeah, he agreed, I'm available, I'll come, great. So the husband, the father comes home, he says to his wife, I just spoke to the Chazon Ish, he's willing to be the tzaddik. She looks at him, he's like, he's not going to be the tzaddik. My father's going to be the tzaddik. So you go back and tell the Chazon Ish that he's not going to be the Sandik. So I can tell the Chazon Ish that. So you go back and tell the Chazon Ish he better be moch on the Sandik house. He goes back to the Chazon Ish and tells him from his wife, the message from the wife, and he says, I'm not mochel. Why is that mochel? Because for the carry out for the child. The Chazon Ish understood what it means to be a Sandik. The Chazon Ish knew who he was, and he knew who the grandfather was. So because of the love, the ava he had for the son, not because he cared about the kiva, you think he cared about the kiva, but he cared about the child. And because of that, he wouldn't be mochel b'davar. So, story about baby naming. Oh, baby naming. Oh, what machlokis exists by baby naming? Terrible. It's incredible. I like the quote Rabbi Pesach Krohn says, who himself is a mole, who's Rabbi Perlstein's father-in-law. I heard in his name once that the grandparents want to name a child, let them have their own child. So either way, those who are expecting, all of you zoch to have children, make sure to avoid all machlokas and ask shailas, ask for advice from people before you get involved in any of these types of machlokas. Anyways, back to our case here. So if the father is a moel, does the father, when the child's old, does he have an obligation to be the moel? Or no, his chiv is now mufka, it's not involved anymore. Well, let's say the son is a moel, and the father's a mole. So the son wants to give himself a bris milah. Who comes first? Does a son come first? Or does the father of the mole, does he come first? If someone steals the milah, who does he owe money to? Does he owe money to the son? Does he owe money to the father? So these are all questions that Minchas Chinuch asks as when the child is older. Or who has to pay the mole? The mole only does it for schar. Whose obligation to pay? Is it the father's obligation or it's the son who's getting the milah's obligation? But that's all when the child, the kishahigdil. But what about when the child is not bar mitzvah? He's young. So whose chiv is it? Pashup Shah is the father. But there is a chakir that the Acharim talk about, is maybe be'etzem, the mila, the chiv is really on the child. But the child just can't do it. He's too young. He's 8 days old. So the father is acting, not as shliach, but he's taking the responsibility of his child, and he's making sure that the child gets the bris milah. But really, it's like, I have to wear tefillin, I need to wear tittis, I need to do these mitzvahs. So it's the child. He has to make sure it's a mitzvah begufo to get the bris milah. Lemaisi can't, so the father makes sure that the mitzvah is performed for the child. What's an afkamina?
How could a child, I mean, please have a chiyuv of any mitzvah?
The Torah says, that's what the Torah tells you. B'yom HaShemini, it's a Zeres Kasev. Yeah, but that's Dirabanan, but it's true. By Dirabanan, what exists by Mitzvah Chinuch, the Tosos and Rashi and Brachos by Birkas HaMazon, they talk about whose Chiv is the Chinuch on. Is it the child's Chiv that he has to do a mitzvah? The Torah says, don't wait to bar mitzvah. The Chacham say, when you're 8, whatever the age is, 8, you should start doing mitzvahs already. So that's a chiyuv chachamim, it's the child's obligation. Or no, the chachamim say that the parents, or likely the father, there's a Rashi in Chagiga, that the mother's not chayiv in chinuch. It's a big discussion. But the father says, the chachamim, that they have an obligation to start training their children at a certain age. So it's a chiyuv on the child or a chiyuv on the father. It's a great model. So here as well, it's a very good question. But the understanding would be that the Torah said there's a chiyuv on the child that's going to be carried out through the father. Now, what the nafkamina is, the Mali Roam writes, a nafkamina is a summa. The child is blind. The child is a summa. So summa, we know, Rabbi Huda tells us, it's pater mikol mitzvos. So he's pater mikol mitzvos. So now, if the child himself is pater, so then there would be no chiv on the father either. But if the chiv is on the father to give a child a mila, who cares the status of the child? It's a chiv that's mutal on the father. So that's the nafkamina. So let's go back now and learn the Tosas Rid. Tosas Rid says it's a mitzvah begufo. Whenever there's a mitzvah begufo, there is no shlichus. So if you take the tzad, that mila is a chiv on the child, it's a mitzvah begufo, mamish beguf, like tefillin on the body, the Os Bris Kodesh on the body, it's mamish begufo, so then shlichus shouldn't work. Right? Because it's mitzvah begufo. I can't have a guy wear tefillin for me, I can't have a guy where titzis for me, I can't have a guy sit in a sukkah for me. It's a mitzvah begufa, and that's why shlichus doesn't work, perhaps. So now with this, you could still have to explain. So then, how does the father do it? How does the father act on the son's behalf? So it could be simply a gzeres hakasef, that the father is carrying out the child's mila. But I want to just answer maybe somewhat differently. There is a discussion in the 8th parak of Bava Basra called Yeshin Ochlin. It talks about Nachla, which is Yerusha. How different people are Yorish, different relatives. If a father dies, the son is Yorish. If a son dies, the father is Yorish. Brothers, a spouse, grandparents. So they talk about how seamless is that Yerusha. When someone dies and the property goes to another party, is that considered a transaction? Is it going from A to B and there's like a kinyan that takes place? Or is it considered seamless, as if nothing has transferred? So there is a language of the Baal Mor in the back of the Gemara in Bava Basra that says, when the father dies and the son is Yorishit, it's Ki'ilu Ha'av Chai. It's as if the father is still alive, that nothing has changed, nothing's transferred. We know the son steps into the father's shoes in a number of cases. Yud, the lachas of Yud, the son also takes in. Just like the father could, when he buys an Amma Ivriya, so he's allowed to marry her, which is called Yud. So the son also, the Torah says, is allowed to do Yud. We have many places where the son, also by Erchin, comes to lachas of Erchin, those learning Daf Yomi, that the father has a right to redeem his land. If a father, let's say, you sell your house, it's Bati Arichoma. I have a house that's in a walled city. And I sell my bias, I have 12 months to buy it back. If I don't buy it back, so then I lose it forever. Let's miss as the pasuk says. But let's say the owner of the house, he dies. So then the son is able to also redeem the house within 12 months. We have a number of instances where the son takes over for the father. The Rashi uses a language also. The Rashi in Horios, Da Vavam and Aleph, he's talking about, he's quoting a pasuk. Let's find Horios 1 second here. The pasuk says, "Tachas avosecha yubanecha," below your father will be your sons. And Rashi explains here, "Demashma debanim b'makom avos kaima uke avos chaim damu," as if the fathers are still alive. So we have this concept in many places that the son continues a legacy of the father. The Gemara in Eirvin, this is quoted most by a lot of the Svarim HaKadoshim, Kara Davua, Bara Kara Davua, that the son is called the leg of the father. It's a continuation of the father's legacy. There's one more raya about this idea. The Gemara Sanhedrin tells us that Kol Melamed is Ben Chavero, Kilo Yaldo. We have that by Bnei Aaron are called Bnei Moshe. So whenever a person teaches someone else that's not their child, we view that as if they raised such a child. So now that my Talmidim are called my children, a Rebbe's Talmidim are called his children. So look at this. Listen to this fascinating Rashi at the end of Parshas Vayelech. The Pasuk's telling us that Moshe is told that Ki Adati, I know, Acharei Mosi, Moshe says, I know after my death, Moshe says, Ki Hashchis Tashchisun Vetzartim Naderech, I know when I leave this world that Klal Yisrael is going to leave the proper path. So Rashi says, that's not true. Hare Kol Yimos Yoshua Lo Ishchisu. After Moshe died, they were still following Derech HaTorah. When Yeshua is alive, they're still following what they're supposed to be doing. It says in the times of Yeshua, "Ve'yavod Yisrael es Hashem kol yimei Yeshua." So, what does the pasuk mean? After I die, it says Rashi, "Mikan she'talmido shel adam chaviv alav kegufo." A talmud is so chaviv to persons like the guf himself. Moshe knew that it wasn't going to be until after Yeshua dies that this would take place. But that's kegufo of Moshe Rabbeinu, his talmud, who's a ben, and kol zman she Yeshua chai, when Yeshua is alive, hayah nirak lemoshe kilu hu chai, as if he was alive. So we have this concept by a father living a lie, living even after his death through his children. And we have by a Rebbe continuing his life even after his death through his Talmidim. It's kigufo. So here as well, not only when the father dies, but even when the father is alive, you have this connection between father and son of the Kara Davua, the Baruch Kara Davua. And perhaps this would explain why Shlichus doesn't work. That's really the mitzvah is on the tinok, on the child. And it's a mitzvah begufo. But that gufo is chaviv to the father as if the father himself, as if it's his gufo as well. So that's really all one unit, the father and the son accomplishing the mitzvah. But since it's a mitzvah begufo, shlichus won't work. And that perhaps is pshat in the Tosfos Arid. Okay? It depends.